you got Eugene on the air here. And of course, as usual, we have a very, very special guest. Actually, we have many, many guests in the studio right now.
Yeah.
But only one of them matters.
Me.
Are we rolling?
You're on.
I'm on air, and I'm here with Mr. Morgan Krantz. You got a toothpick in your mouth, like Ryan Gosling and Drive, your favorite film.
Cinnamon toothpick, yeah.
Cinnamon, wow. I thought I smelled something funky in the air. New friends and old friends are leaving. God bless you all. God bless. And Morgan Krantz, one of my oldest L.A. friends, is here. hot on the mic, just handed me a cinnamon toothpick, and things are about to get flavorful.
Stick it in there. There you go.
Tell us, Morgan, tell us who you are, what you are.
How close do I need to be to this?
Closer the better.
Okay.
Or like talk. I just don't want to pick up on all these
fans. Check. The fans.
And by fans, we don't mean the thousands of listeners. I put that, you know, I'm so used to one of these double-sided toothpicks.
Yeah, this is not
that. You can use both sides.
No, this is single side.
This one has a handle.
Yeah.
This is like a, you really got to get a handle on this toothpick. So I put the handle side in my mouth because I'm inexperienced.
These are like the toothpicks they use in oranges at sushi places.
That's awesome. But not with cinnamon.
No. The cinnamon is the additional thing.
Right. Yeah. I yesterday went to the CVS for my girl. She had to take care of, she had to purchase
girl stuff.
Some girl
Got
stuff.
It.
And I, because, well, my apartment, I don't know about you, but my apartment has been hella hot, hellishly hot.
Yes.
Recently. I don't have air conditioning or anything like that. Yeah. I don't know. So we've been staying at Joan's mom's place where there is air conditioning, not central air, but there's a unit. And Joan's mom had one of those electric toothbrushes.
Mm-hmm.
With a detachable head. So I used that there, and I was like, wow, it's awesome. So while my lady was purchasing feminine products, I purchased the cheapest possible electric toothbrush from
at CVS.
$5.99,
I think I have the same one.
$5.99, they give you an extra head.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it's awesome. I love it. I'm only thinking about it because of the toothpick you gave me.
Yeah, I don't know if it's more effective or just makes it more enticing to brush your teeth.
It does,
to interact
with it. But it's both.
Yeah.
It's both. It encourages you to brush your teeth because it's like a fun, novel experience. I'm sure when the novelty wears off,
there's less muscle involved.
Like usually, like a normal toothbrush, like how often do you brush your teeth? Like once a year?
Me, yeah. Just
exactly.
Very rarely.
I'll do like once a decade.
Yeah.
But with this toothbrush, I feel like I'm brushing 4 or 5 times. Like I woke up at 7 a.m. this morning.
Yeah.
And then I went on this audition, okay? And I brushed my teeth right when I woke up.
Do you want to do, sorry, I just had the thought. Can we do your audition? Can I like see what it was?
Oh my God.
Do you
want to
talk about it? We can talk acting.
Yeah, okay, so Morgan, when I met you at a movie theater, I was told that you were
Pierrot Le Fou.
At the
New Beverly.
Right, God bless. And I was told, or maybe you told me that you're an actor, or you told me you're a filmmaker. But anyway, you were an actor,
the way I
understood it. And then we collaborated on a movie called
Zeros and Ones.
Right. And I would come to your apartment, which was above the Vista, right next to the Vista.
That's right, yeah.
Probably you were paying at the time. What was your rent at the time?
Oh, man. I think like 800.
And probably that a little upstairs apartment costs now like
so much.
1500, if not 2 grand.
You know, Darby Crash lived there.
Wow.
Before, not before.
Did you
right
see there's
me.
A huge poster of Darby Crash right here? We can look after the show. Yeah, it's a very nice, huge poster.
Cool.
Anyways, so I would remember sometimes while we were working on the script together.
Yeah.
You would have auditions the next day, and we would run the lines.
I would make you
you wouldn't really make me, but I could see that your attention was kind of elsewhere.
Yeah.
And so I would volunteer because I like to do it with you. I don't have – Joan, my girl, is really good at – Like the opposite of building your confidence, like really good at putting me down.
Good.
So I need that because I'm such an egomaniac.
Yeah.
So look at how much of an egomaniac I am. I have you as my guest in the show. I'm talking the whole time. Oh my God. I'm sorry. But let me just finish. So I had no one to run the lines with.
Yeah.
So I couldn't memorize the lines. So I didn't go off book for this audition.
Uh huh.
I'm like looking at the paper.
Yeah.
That's bad.
I don't always go off book.
Well, so what was it? It was like this. It was like, I'm dying. I'm dying. Mm. And then they take a plastic bag over my head. And then I go, Vicks, what are you doing here, man?
And then they say, is that exactly how you did it?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And they say some shit. And I go, What's with the plastic bag, man? I had a plastic bag over my head.
Oh, yeah.
And then they start beating me up. And then I say, I don't have it anymore. My mom's took my computer.
You say moms?
That's the line.
So this is like the future where all
everyone
you have lesbian
just talks
mothers
like a
and,
fucking retard slash fake.
And you're an astronaut?
Slango. No, I'm a junkie hacker. Anyway, I definitely didn't get it. But I don't think I wanted it, really, you know?
Bad? Bad movie?
From the scenes I read, I mean, look, if they give me the part, I'll take it because I just think it'll be fun or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I know. I did a terrible job. However, I will say one good thing came out of it. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but I saw someone there who recognized me from something.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, like, so good to see you again. Like, I met them somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And she turned out to be a really cool girl.
Cool.
And, like, I could tell she was a good actress.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, I should work with her, too.
Yes.
So just that.
Yeah, you run into
worth
people.
Driving
yeah.
to fucking whatever, you know, where these casting offices are, just like really far away from us, and just sitting there and like, you know, I wore a funky little outfit and I was sweating, you know.
You wore that?
That and a trench coat because it's like a very William Gibson like future, like what do you call it, cyberpunk vibe.
Yeah. Cool.
Anyway, how'd I do? Horrible, right?
No, I thought that was pretty solid, actually. The I'm dying part, I would have, like, maybe tried to, like, just...
No, because I got a plastic bag on my head, so it's like...
Oh, yeah.
I'm dying! You know, and then they take it out, like... Vix?
I was confused when you said Vix. I didn't know you were talking about the vapor of
no,
or, like,
it's the name
a
of a fucking
person.
Character. I don't fucking know, man. Hey, look, I'm sure it's good writing. I just couldn't do it justice.
You might have done great, man. You don't know. Remember that guy that came in and auditioned for Zeros and Ones, and he was like a fucking nervous wreck. He was literally sweating.
Did we hire him?
Beads, yeah. He was sweating. He was like, he could barely talk.
Was it Whitmer?
And then we hired him. And I remember when we called him, we were like, "You got it." And he thought we were fucking with him.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. The guy who
the
brought
guy who
his
played
brother
the
to
the porno.
Party.
He played the porno.
Yeah, the
guy
who was obsessed with porn.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
didn't make the cut. That scene.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he was...
he was excited. He brought
but
his
we,
brother.
But we liked him. Even though he was so nervous, we were both like... We were
that's
just
perfect.
Like, oh,
that's
got,
right
he's got
energy.
Something interesting
yeah, exactly,
going on. Yeah,
exactly. That's so fun. I think about that, how we cast everybody in like North Hollywood Theater District.
Yeah.
Were you
I
there
remember
where
this
we
one
were
girl
sitting
that came in that was so mad at us, too.
That we didn't cast her.
Yeah.
I think I remember...
You remember her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lacey?
No, I don't remember her name. I just remember she was like this kind of cute little thing, and she was very mad. Openly mad at
Wait,
us.
Wait, but she contacted us later?
Oh, not me.
What do you mean? How did she...
She was in the movie, like, Miss America.
But then how would she know we didn't cast her? Just right
No, she wasn't mad that we didn't cast her. She was mad that she was, like, there and that she had to wait because, we like, there was a big wait.
Oh, that it was such
and
bullshit.
And I just remember her coming in and being so mad, but I was kind of into it. I was kind of like, oh, she's kind of hot.
You argued for her later.
She was like, kind of hot, and I was kind of turned on by the fact that she was so openly, like, bitchy to us. Because as opposed to every other actress, which she was, you know,
like,
obviously
really
trying to be
nice
and gracious. Yeah.
So
I was sort
we
of
should
into
have
it.
Cast her.
Yeah, I think we gave the part to Mara LaFontaine, who's really wonderful. Yeah,
cut that out too.
Bummer.
We cut so much stuff out of that movie.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if that made it better or worse.
I have the same feelings about my film.
So you just directed your first feature.
Yeah, that's right.
And what's it called?
Babysitter.
And
wrote, directed, and edited it. Premiered at South by Southwest.
Yeah. Cool. And it
with
was
you.
Very nice that we both had our movies premiere
yeah,
there and we
fun.
Hung a little bit. And I got to say, I'm so jealous. You just came back from France.
Yeah, Deauville.
Because your film played at Deauville, Deauville, whatever.
Technically, it's Deauville.
Deauville.
I've been trying to, yeah.
And I know I saw that they honored Keanu Reeves there. I was so jealous. Did you participate in that?
I didn't, but I did go to the Terrence Malick tribute and the Michael Bay tribute.
Wow. Wow.
They both, yeah, back to
at
back.
At the same time?
One day is Michael Bay tribute. Next
was
day is Terrence Malick tribute.
Do you think
tribute.
They were
they
aware
also did
of each
Patricia
other?
Clarkson, who's pretty cool.
So, wait, Malick and
Bay
were there. Michael Bay
no,
were there.
Malick doesn't go to those things, but Michael Bay was definitely there.
Did you hang with him?
I was in his proximity quite a bit, and he was, like, macking pretty hard on this French model.
Uh-huh.
And Lawrence Bender was fully being his wingman.
Whoa.
And it was pretty amazing.
Hang, huh?
It was pretty amazing to watch, actually. Because he was just going for it just in the way that you would imagine he would.
Well, you know, before we even met,
yeah.
but after I had moved here, I worked on a commercial as an art department PA in a commercial that Michael Bay acted in, playing himself.
Yeah.
As the director, Michael Bay, promoting like Verizon while he was, it was a cross promotion between Verizon and the first Transformers movie.
Cool.
And I remember distinctly that there was a there was a tank on set and the Bumblebee Transformer and a tiger. And I remember one moment, they had an animal wrangler, of course, but they were like, everybody clear the set. So I was walking off the set and they said, not you, guy. And I was like, me? And they're like, yeah, you stay back. And I was like, what? They're like, you're going to be our first line of defense if the tiger, like, breaks through. And I was like, are you kidding? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, they're kidding.
I was like, you know, like, the tiger, there was the wrangler, and then the tiger was probably like 8 or 10 feet away from me. And my job was to run, scream and run if the tiger broke through.
Wow.
That doesn't sound legal.
Hollywood, man.
Welcome to Hollywood.
Welcome to Hollywood.
So tell me a little more about your trip to France.
Oh, man.
So,
I mean,
did people like the movie?
Yeah, the movie was well received. The French really get me. And,
awesome.
No, awesome. The French journalists definitely like ask legit questions. Dude, they're very thought out.
Did you have a press conference?
We had like a full on like press conference with translators.
Oh my god, that's awesome!
Yeah, translators, and then I did a few interviews with a few of these French interviewers, and they were like, all of their questions were so much more deep than like any bullshit we did at South. I don't know what you did at South by.
So
but
you basically
mine
hate
at
American
South by.
Journalists.
Like, I'm pretty sure nobody who interviewed us at South by saw the movie. Maybe a few, but these guys were like picking frames apart, you know, and like being like, when you cut from the boy masturbating to the man with the camera, why did you do? You know, and I'm like, wow, yeah. They're giving me lines. I was like, damn, that's a good line on the movie. I'm gonna steal that.
You should.
One of which was. I like this one. They're like, well, I love how the movie is so disjointed because, or I love how the camera work is so disjointed because the people are. And I was like, absolutely. That's totally why
that sounds
happened.
Like a backhanded insult.
No.
But roll with it.
No, you think so?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen the movie.
Oh, you got to see the movie. Why haven't you seen the movie?
Did you ever send me a link? No.
No. You were at the premiere, or you were in the presence of the premiere, though.
Not really, because our movies played the exact same time.
No, I know. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, you know what? I took it as a compliment. Not that specifically, but just his general vibe on it.
Do you think you're good at reading people?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm trying to think, like, in general, like on the street, on the phone.
Like in person.
Yeah.
Do you think you're good at reading?
I'm a high fiver. And then in France, I love the kissing of the girls.
Oh, the double kiss?
The double kiss. I'm like, man, this is great. I tried to do it today to this American girl.
She wasn't feeling
who
it?
Who I'm working with, and it just immediately felt, immediately felt really sexual.
What are you working with her on?
Neurotica.
Which is what? Tell
Neurotica is a web series that...
Get that toothpick out of your mouth.
Is it fucking with my voice, or is it making me sound cool? It might be making me sound cool, though.
Nah, you sound cool already. Ish.
So Neurotic is a web series I made a couple years ago with my friend Alex Marecki, and then it was like a big thing online, and we got like millions of views, and then we sold it to this company, Endemol, and they're giving us money to make a second season, which is going to be really killer.
Right, and this actress you're working with her...
She's it's our line producer.
Oh, I
Judy.
See.
Judy Craig, great. Anyway, I did the double
plug
kiss to her.
For Judy.
I did the double kiss to her and the wardrobe girl, and both times it just didn't have the same, it just didn't have the...
The joie de vivre
thing, yeah.
So you think you're good at reading people?
Reading people?
Yeah.
I thought you said greeting people.
No, reading.
Oh, I was like, I don't know, I say hi and I high five. Oh, reading people.
Well, yeah, because
that's a whole other thing. I tried.
The journalist, you know, was commenting you, but it sounds to me like he just was trying to find something
to say. 100%. This journalist was like deeply into my movie.
Right.
The critics table. Like three people came up to me. He was one of the critics also of the like some prize.
Jury.
Did you
get it?
No, I didn't win. Kreisha won again. But it's a great fucking movie.
I know. I saw it recently.
It's really great.
It was good.
And I hung out with Trey a lot. It was awesome. But Trey was at that table because he won, so he got to sit with all the critics.
Uh-huh.
And he was saying that, and him and two other people came up to me and said that this dude was going on about my movie the whole time.
Raving about it.
Loved it.
Well, maybe pull one of those rave quotes.
Yeah, that's not a pull quote. I'm just saying
if I'm talking about like for me as a line to use if I'm at a Q&A and somebody well, asks I know you, that, I somebody know that, throws me a curveball.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. The camera hey, work is so disjointed.
Why do you? Why did you do it and I, this way? And I'd be like, well, here you go.
So here you are on air admitting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I am.
You have no ideas before the fact.
I had ideas about why I shot the movie the way I did, but let me tell you something. When you're trying to craft a performance and editing and stuff, a lot of those preconceptions go out the window, especially on your first film.
That's very
true. You understand.
I understand that even on my fifth film.
Yeah, it all goes out the window, and basically you're just like, how do I make it work? Like, how do I make it work?
Exactly.
And it's all about performance.
And
so all your like visual ideas go away, and it maybe becomes a little more disjointed. But maybe you're like, it feels okay because maybe the people are disjointed, and maybe that's what I did do.
Maybe you did make that happen.
Maybe I did make it happen. It just wasn't like as conscious as I. You know,
although we both saw this movie Krisha, which isn't out really, but I recommend seeing. And that seems like a movie where a lot of the visual ideas did get retained at the end of the day.
Yes, that is a great movie where there's a lot.
I wouldn't call it great, but I would call it really good.
There's a lot of. No, I was impressed by that too. Like
they stuck to a visual language.
Definitely.
Yeah, they had a lot of sequences setups.
That I'm like, this was like an entire.
There's only one way to
constructed.
Yeah, it was constructed.
You couldn't have just edited
slapped it
together.
Yeah,
it was like a thing. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. What are you doing?
I'm taking a picture of you. Because also, does anybody even know like we're doing?
I didn't promo it because I'm so late.
Listen.
Well, you know, it gets archived, so they can listen to it tomorrow.
Well, I'm gonna tell people right now.
Do it. Did I move?
No, you didn't move. I don't want to like make a whole conversation about how to do my Instagram post.
Are you good at Instagram?
You know, like, I've found my way.
Right.
You know?
Like, are you gonna promo your shit through Instagram?
What shit?
Like whatever, Neurotica or The Babysitter.
Like, are we gonna do like Instagram accounts for the projects?
I guess what I mean is like, are you on this tip of like, my social media activity is going to be like integral to the.
I'm definitely looking forward to because I think Neurotica is going to do really well, and we're going to have a lot of online action. And so I'm definitely looking forward to like being a person that has like followers because I feel like that gives you power.
In Hollywood, does now, right?
I don't know.
Like
Vin not
Diesel,
even in Hollywood. Like
Vin
it just
Diesel,
gives you power. Like
Vin
you just
Diesel
have,
has so many followers.
You have like 10, 50,000 people who like
care
are in touch with you.
How many do you have now? Like 1,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Because
Paul,
I was a
Paul
fucking idiot with Neurotica. We went, you know, we're on Reddit, all this stuff, and I didn't link any of our shit.
Yeah.
So they would have to, like, really, it was only, like,
try.
The hardcore fans that would, like, find me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now I'm like, damn, if I had 50,000 people at my fingertips, you know,
like
I could
people
really,
would be giving me free
really
Louis Vuitton sneakers.
Things. Yeah, totally.
Louis Vuitton would be giving me free sneakers to wear.
Dude, I broke up with my girlfriend.
You did?
Yeah.
Of how long?
6.5 years.
Jessica.
Yeah.
You broke up
That's
with her.
That's all I can really say about it, but I just wanted to
well,
say
Well, I think, yeah, I was going to ask you about how is your love life and all that.
Yeah. Well, you caught me at a funny time because given the nature of my love life, any other time I think I'd be much more open about it, but given this the nature of it at
Is it just
point,
so recent?
It's pretty fresh, yeah.
How fresh?
Like, you know,
2 months?
Like, no, like, kind of like... Kind of like coming.
Yeah.
And then I guess technically like maybe we're 10 days in, but I was in France for most of it, so.
You did it right before you left.
You know, I can't get really into the details about any of
well,
it.
Well, no, well, let's...
Because of the freshness of the situation, like out of respect for like everybody
yeah.
or whatever, I just can't do it, but.
Can I, okay.
So I just throw that at you just to tease you.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, like, I'm going to try.
I actually almost didn't come on the show because I was like, because I gathered.
You know what
the
show is about.
The whole thing was like,
grilling.
Oh, you know, being
grilled.
Spilling your guts. And I was like, damn, I can't, like, I just can't do it right
of
now.
Of course. I mean,
about
gotta,
that. But I can talk generally and maybe from
let
that
me,
you
let
can
me,
deduce.
Let me ask general questions.
All right, wait, Kate.
Because I'm in the, at Kate Chung Radio.
Okay.
I'm in the longest relationship of my life right now.
How long?
Not as long as that. About 20 months.
Uh-huh. 20
but that,
months, so that's, I'm sorry.
A year.
Almost 2 years. Okay, good.
Yeah, and it's longer, you know, by far, by double than anything else I've been with. It's mm-hmm. 2 times longer. And I just wonder, like, is the, like, not that there's anything wrong with my relationship. I love my relationship. And there obviously have been ups and downs, but I think I'm in a pretty good place right now.
Yeah.
But like,
you guys seem great together.
Is the lifespan of, like, does something have a lifespan? Like I'm sure that your relationship had ups and downs. It's not like this came out of nowhere. It's like, at what point do you say, like, okay, it's been 6 years. Like, that's a pretty good run. Like
well, that's a tough question, you know? I mean, it's definitely it's hard thing to do when you're that in it.
It's like waiting for the bus.
You know,
it's like, I've been waiting for the bus for 45 minutes right now. I don't want to leave now. It'll show up any second. Like, when you do, like, 3 years, when you get past 3 years, it seems to me like you're waiting for the bus. Like... They would have to take some. It would have to. Someone from the bus company would have to call me and tell me, "Hey, the bus isn't coming today for me to leave."
Wait, I'm sorry, but the bus in this metaphor is like,
is the potential of the relationship to
go somewhere greater.
Yeah, go somewhere greater, okay. And you've been waiting for so long, and it's like it's not gonna get worse. but I'm not saying it was bad to begin with, and maybe it's a false analogy, but
yeah, I mean. It definitely something I learned is like the relationships, like, it has to consistently be getting better,
right? The relationship is like a shark.
Do they get better at stuff?
No, it's like a famous line from Annie Hall where he goes, "The relationship is like a shark; it has to keep moving forward, or it'll drown."
Yeah,
I remember that.
yeah, it's like a shark. exactly.
That's no, great. Wait, what were you gonna say? It's like,
no, that's better than what I was gonna say.
You're gonna say it's
the
like
same idea. So I was just saying, like, you got. Fuck this fan, man.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, it's gotta keep going up.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, it's gonna go down. Yeah, it either goes up or down.
Yeah,
it doesn't flat stay the
is
same. Bad.
Flat is down.
Is
plateau
also
is
like not even
worth it?
Yeah, but it's also like, so there's no flat. Flat is down.
So you're a single guy right now.
Single dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you don't have your eye on anyone, right?
I can't get into this right now. Okay. I'm so sorry, Eugene.
You kind of sound like Travolta.
I can't get into it right now.
You don't want any love? I can't get into this right now.
I used to do this really. You don't want any love?
Who's that?
That's John Travolta in Greece.
Oh, you're the one that I love.
You're the one that I love. I can't
that's
do
ironic.
It. It's not working right now.
In the face of a breakup, that's an ironic thing to say.
Yeah,
so
it's actually you.
Oh, me? Oh, thank you.
I left her for you, man.
Oh, wow. I love it. Do you stay in that house?
Yeah, yeah. I'm
you
like
kept the house?
Keeping the house.
Who got the dog? It's her dog or it's
yeah,
your
yeah,
dog?
Yeah, her dog.
So. The dog is old now.
The dog is.
The dog was your child.
Yeah, I mean, I love dogs and it was a good dog. It is a good dog. And
it was a good
the dog.
The dog
will be missed. The dog is always. Listen, Charlie, if you're listening, you're always welcome.
So you
back
shared
home,
you just
back
you,
home with your old stepdad.
You just Instagrammed
I really want
and
Charlie
tweeted
to know.
About the show at the same damn time.
Oh, but it's all, you know, it's all
it's all email?
What?
You just said
no,
it's all
connected, you know, it's an
yeah,
option.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Very good, very good. So
I mean, I do want people, if we're gonna do this, like, might as well have people
for
listen,
sure.
Right?
And you know what? Oh great, and related to that, I just got a Tinder message.
Are you on Tinder?
Probably
but you're
not
in a relationship.
Well, I'm on Tinder because I have an open relationship, Joan and I. You know? Do you know that?
Oh, okay.
We have an open relationship.
That's cool.
Mandated by Joan, but acted on more frequently by me.
So you guys can both, but she can, guys, girls, whatever?
Yeah, we can do whatever.
Okay.
As long as we tell each other right away.
I can see myself, yeah.
I was very
hesitant.
As long
as it's not like with anybody, like, do you... What if it's like somebody here, you're like, oh shit, but I might really, like, if I go for that, like,
well,
I'm gonna have feelings.
Well, that's the sort of thing that needs to be averted. Like
we, so only like idiots.
No, we're
you
for,
fuck
no,
it.
No, I can't fuck idiots.
Yeah.
The whole thing that Joan has set up, it's super transparent. So, like, I have to tell her right away. She has to tell me right away what happened. And, like, we talk about it. And if it does seem like it's, like, oh, I could really develop something for this person, then, like, we have to reassess our relationship.
Right.
You know, like, is our relationship not strong enough? Like, is this better?
Right.
You know, I think it's really – it constantly, like, tests our relationship in a good way and also refreshes our relationship in a good way.
Because you bring some of that – action back to the old bedroom. what about
not,
like
not
three? Well, okay, but what about like three ways and all that stuff?
We could
like,
do that. Joan is more into all that stuff. We haven't done it.
What, three way?
Yeah.
Joan
wants.
I hear that from what I understand from people I know that have done it. The three
You've
ways.
You've done one, no?
Full disclosure, never had a come so close.
What a fucking loser.
I've come so close. I know.
I never done one either.
What?
I never done one either. I thought we were close.
Let's find somebody and do this right now.
I thought we were close one time.
You and I?
Yeah.
Shit, you're right. That's true. We almost did it. What happened?
I blame us.
I mean, my ideal three-way is just not with another guy.
Yeah, me neither. That's what I think is bugging.
But if it was going to be, like...
Oh. Really?
You'd be on that list. I mean, you were, just because it came sort of close.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. I think if I end up having a threesome with a guy...
Do you think she even knew?
I think she was...
That it was as close as it was?
I think she was egging on. Like, if she's listening,
if she's listening to this right now, do you even think that she knows we're talking about her?
Yeah,
or is this just a thing that happened in our head?
Yeah, but there's no way she's listening.
How do you know? You just know.
I don't. If you're listening right now, person, you
who
have
are
my
you? Call
you
in.
Have my number. Text me.
Just like some random girl is gonna call.
Exactly. Text me. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. Yeah. So to prove that you're listening, if you are, feel free to text me 310-890-3887.
Text me too 323-510-1233. And also call me. I'm single.
But you may or may not have your eye on someone.
Send pics.
Sext. So part of the reason why I'm on Tinder now, especially, is because, you know, my new flick that's coming out is a rom-com about exes. So
yes.
I modified my personal Tinder profile to be a movie promo profile. So instead of my pics, it's pics of me and Kate from the movie. And then my profile is like,
wow,
are you still friends with your ex?
Yeah.
Do you keep in touch without touching? Do you sober dial someone that you were sexually intimate with?
Yeah.
And then I was like, if so, tell me more. And actually and now I made it so my profile matches with men and women.
Uh-huh.
And now, like, usually because I'm in a relationship that I love and care about, I would usually only swipe right for someone that I was like very, very intrigued by.
I don't even know what swipe right means. I've been in a relationship for 6 years.
Yeah, you
don't
know anything.
You're actually blowing my mind. Like, I'm gonna go on Tinder?
The last time you were in the dating scene, the most online thing in dating was eHarmony or something.
eHarmony,
Match.com.
Facebook.
You don't know, like, MySpace. You were on MySpace when you started going out.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't know what OkCupid is, Tinder, Grindr.
None of that.
But anyway, so, here's what it looks like. So, because I'm trying to promote the film, right? Like, instead of being really selective,
right.
I now match with men and women, even uh-huh. though I'm not, you know, like, going to do anything with men. But if I see someone who has friends in common with me or interests in common,
yeah.
I will automatically swipe right, which is not what I used to do. This is really, like, bad, but I want to show you what it looks like when you have friends in common. This is bad. You click on it, you look at their pictures. Or if someone just looks really interesting.
These are all men who are down to fuck you. Men.
Well, no, they're not down to fuck me
yet.
That's
a headshot. That's straight up a commercial headshot.
There's a lot of those here. There's another one.
Oh, my God. Oh my! It's the same guy.
Yeah, well, that's what you click on their photo, and then you go read their profile, and you look at all their photos. Cameron 21, we love you. But I'm trying to show you what it looks like when you have a connection with someone. They're like down here, it's supposed to be red. So this is weird. None of these people I have any. This is so strange.
I'm sure this is very unusual.
It is, because you know, I'm a what they call me, a network hub.
Wait, you're a hub?
They call me a network hub because uh-huh. this is so crazy. Does it even know who I am? How am I not? I gotta change this. This is embarrassing. This is like when you tell your mom, hey, mom, look at me do a flip.
Yeah,
and then you do a belly flop. You know?
Yeah, totally.
Does your mom love your movie, The Babysitter?
Oh, well, that's a weird question, actually. My mom...
Because this movie, The Babysitter, is about... it's like a coming-of-age story that's semi-autobiographical.
It's just Babysitter, no the.
Oh, sorry, Babysitter. It's like Facebook, no the.
Yeah,
it's just
Facebook. Yeah. But, yeah, well, my mom had actually some pretty strong feelings about it because... You know, she's sort of portrayed in the film.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I don't know.
She was kind of pissed.
She was pissed. Because
she was a little pissed, but also, you know, she's an actress and, like...
She gets it. She's
gets
a creative
it.
Person.
Yeah.
She gets that, like...
She gets it, but, like, I wouldn't do it again. At
yeah,
least
but
in
do you
that
think
way.
Fellini's parents like the way they are portrayed in his movie? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like... Oh,
I think...
See but, the red thing there?
Uh-huh,
That
yeah.
means me and this guy have
one...
One mutual
what?
Friend on Facebook.
Okay.
So anyone who has a mutual friend with me or has an interest, that's the other thing,
right.
I'll just swipe right automatically. there, this girl has one mutual friend with me. Because I know that they were, this guy has two, see?
Right.
They might be more likely to be into my movie because there's some level of, and you know, response.
I don't even
see,
know
I just matched. I just matched with this
with
guy.
With that guy? Like, he's already clicked you and set him down?
Well, he might have clicked me a while ago.
And set him down.
But yeah, he doesn't know that I clicked him, you know? Like, he doesn't know that I swiped right, accepted him, and I don't know whether he accepted me. That's why it's like a match thing. You okay. do it just based on photo, and if you like them and they like you, then it's tells a match. You it's a match.
Cool.
That's really intuitive. I didn't need to explain that, huh?
Yeah, I get that. I get that part. I
so
get
then
that
I can
part.
Send him a message.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this girl who just messaged me, Abby, is the first person to respond to my query about exes and all that stuff.
Oh, cool.
So that's why I was vaguely excited.
Cool.
But yeah, I'm trying to do promotional things like this because I think like.
Yeah, that's cool.
I need everything I can get because the movie is going to have very little promotional money and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Did someone in France want to buy your movie?
Yeah, we're talking to a few
people.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Because it had such a good response.
Yeah.
Getting a release in France is a big deal.
Yeah, I know.
Especially like for you as an artistic filmmaker in the future.
I mean, France is great. All the cliches are true. Every single one.
That like, they're like so into culture. They love
it. It's just a great place. It's like everything's great. The women are fucking beautiful and the food is great. And they, yes, it's like they're all very.
Did the film festival have, you know, like did it influence you into making the like deep and. Deep relationship decision that you made?
It was before. It was,
I know, but were you thinking, like, it'd be great to be single at this film festival? You were?
Yeah.
And then did you act on that?
You know, in a way.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, wait, what are you saying? Oh, like, act on my singledom?
Yeah.
I can't go into details, Eugene. I can't go into details. I have to draw. I wish I could. We'll do another show. We'll do another show once all hearts have healed.
We'll do another show
when
your movie's coming out, okay?
Yeah, that's good.
Well, here's what I have to say. Like, I haven't had a relationship nearly as long as the one you guys had.
Yeah.
But I am friends with most of my exes, which is why I made my movie and this Tinder and all that.
Yeah.
And the way that I best view these things is like, wow, whether it was 6 years, 6 months, it's over now, but I had such an amazing experience with this person.
Yeah,
we shared so much stuff.
Totally.
We at some point, and hopefully for the majority of our relationship, were really deeply bonded.
Yeah.
And like had this crazy spark, and like I'm so blessed that that happened, and let me just remember the good times, and I hope the other person can remember the good times.
Yeah.
And then we can value the time we spent.
Oh yeah.
Because I think what a lot of people do when they break up and it's not like a conscious uncoupling or something like that, they look back and they're like, oh my God, I wasted all this time.
Right. You know, that's nasty.
And it's
that's
like, terrible. That's a investment banker way of looking at love, you know?
Yeah.
To say that like, oh, well, I was investing in like the future of what that could have become. It's like, what, 6 years wasn't like, you know, or X amount of time wasn't. And like we did all these special things, let's cherish that.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I'm not saying that you don't have that perspective or that you guys don't. I'm saying you probably do, and I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, that's the way to do it for sure.
Yeah. So you're just gonna be masturbating a lot.
So far.
Yeah.
No.
Can you talk about? Well, this is something I'm always asking people, like. This is not even about the end of your relationship, but what is the period in your relationship when you guys, during the period when you guys were having the least amount of sex, what was the frequency of the sex? You don't have to tell me when that was, but like, just remember back to when you guys were having the least amount of sex.
Definitely the least amount of sex would be towards the end, because that's like, when it started to,
obviously.
Yeah.
And was that amount? Like once a week.
That was only. I mean, once it's at the end, the only sex really comes from
like
weird
makeup,
emotional places that are like making up or whatever.
I was once in a relationship for 3 months where all the sex was breakup makeup sex, even the first time.
It's true what they say about the makeup sex.
But every single time I had sex, it's like this was when I was living in New York and kind of homeless, you know?
Yeah.
And every night I'd come home to this girl's apartment and we would have dinner and talk and we'd have a good time. And somehow, some way, we get into an argument, and then she would start crying, and I'm not like, I don't make people cry generally, you know, like, I mean, I have, but I'm not like a mean guy.
Yeah.
You know, I might be like weirdly psychologically mildly abusive, but isn't everyone, you know, everyone is kind of, she was definitely, this particular girl was so abusive to me, like psychologically way more. So every night I would end with her crying and I'd be like, look, I think I should leave, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd stand up and she's like, no, stay. And then we just start making out and have makeup sex.
Uh-huh.
For 3 months it went on like this. And then one time I was like, look, this is over. This can't go on. Our relationship is so dysfunctional. I've never been in something so broken from the beginning.
Yeah.
And then she's like, are you kidding? We're in love. And I just came to the conclusion she must have come from a past or a childhood or something where, like, yeah, arguing was valued as love.
Yeah.
You know, like her parents must have argued all the time or something like that.
That makes sense.
And they stayed together.
That makes sense.
I don't know. That's just me.
How much do you
that's
think?
That's just me extrapolating.
I mean, how much do you, yeah, I mean, I wonder, you know, there's a lot of talk about the parents and how the, yeah, I mean, I don't know about all that stuff. I don't think it's
I do think that.
I don't think it's just parents. I think it's just the past. It's like, sure, yeah, it's the past can, like, sure, fuck with you in your relationship.
The baggage of your personal past.
Obviously,
sure,
parents hold, like, a very big station in the past, yeah, you know? So sometimes
I do think, but don't you think, can't you see what parts of you come from your mom, what parts of you come from your dad?
Sometimes, but, you know,
I don't mean in relationships, I mean just in general, like in your behavior.
Yeah.
And then can't you be like, oh, I'm glad I got this good thing for my mom, I hate that I got this bad thing for my mom.
Yeah, the bad things is harder to look at, I think.
I think that, for instance, my dad is pretty bad at relationships.
Yeah?
Like,
in what way?
I don't think he's very...
Like, he doesn't give a shit about
He
him?
Does give a shit, but he's not acutely sensitive. Like, you know, like, he does the right things, but right, when it comes down to it, he won't... It's hard for him to step outside of his shoes and be sensitive.
Yeah.
And I think I have a problem that he has, too, and I don't think he's ever overcome. I don't know if I have, which is, if he thinks he's better than the person he's with, then he kind of becomes condescending.
Mm.
And I know that I can be a very condescending person, and that's why it's so integral to me that I never think I'm better than the person that I'm with,
yeah,
romantically.
Yeah.
Because then I will turn, yeah, into a condescending prick.
Absolutely.
And I like to, in fact, do that for my work relationships, too. I, yeah, love it if my producers and that my collaborators and my actors are all cooler, smarter, better looking, more talented than me, and I've been lucky enough most of the time to work with people like, yeah, that, like you, yeah, so that I just worship them and don't become a condescending prick.
The only reason you don't get into a relationship, romantic or professional or otherwise, right, with somebody that you don't respect and admire is
you don't
not
want
a
do
good
that
reason. You don't want to do it.
You only do it
you've
when
always
you
said that too
people.
And I like, yeah, that, you know, you've always, yeah, said that.
So my dad has, yeah, a problem, and I think ultimately he lost our respect for my mom, and you know, I don't think he necessarily has that for his partner now.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
And
is he gay now?
Huh?
Is he gay now?
No, it's like his girlfriend, but they've been together for 15 years,
right? Partner,
know?
I'm just like,
I know,
I'm just like
gay.
Back, you know, I'm like new to the scene.
So do you think maybe you're gay? You can't talk about
no,
that.
No,
right?
I know deeply that I'm not. I'm totally down to be.
Have you ever?
No, the closest I've come is
on-screen kiss.
Yeah, one time. Oh, did I kiss you?
We did, yeah, in Feast of Burden.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even remember it.
Okay.
That's how un-gay I am. But no,
or
like,
maybe how repressed gay.
How like panicked I am about it.
I only remember because I had to fucking edit it, you know.
Oh yeah.
All
yeah,
the juicy moments.
I guess I can't remember. No, like I did. Like I licked my very good friend my good friend's eyeball in boarding school, and I sucked his blood.
Whoa.
We sucked each other's blood.
Wow.
But we were just like, you know,
just goths.
Goths.
You,
yeah,
weren't gay. You were just goths.
Yeah, but I thought about it. I mean, also I was in boarding school, so I was like,
right,
so cooped
you don't have
up
that many
in
options.
Boarding school, and like,
how old are you? 14?
This guy was, you know, older than me. I was 14. He was 16. But man, he was like the coolest, and still is like super cool. And you know, he showed me all this music and stuff. I just was like, that was so.
Did he
I was
try
in
to make
such
a move on you?
No.
But you were. Just
but he was like
him.
Very sensitive.
You understood like what the Greeks were like.
Yeah, I totally
right.
got it because like, he was beautiful and I admired him and I was like totally in friend
exactly.
love. I was just like, this is a guy like what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a friend who's my friend, but
I
like he's so
him.
Cool.
Yeah,
and he likes me.
Yeah,
and so like you know, you jerk off so much in boarding school that one night in my mind, I was
in.
Like, I just thought I'd try it out. I was like, well, what happens if I think about Nick?
And anything?
It worked, you know, a little bit, but I've since explored it within my own mind. It's just like, it's just not there.
But if you went to prison, you'd probably give and take.
Maybe.
That's the rules of the jungle, baby.
Is it? Oh, shit.
I don't think you're going to go to prison anymore.
Right? Anymore than I have.
I think your time when you could have gone to prison
is past. I was once on a track to go to prison. Yeah.
Right. But because now what? Tell us some things.
Oh, I mean, you know, I was young. It doesn't matter. Honestly, if you're going to be on a track to go to prison, do it before you turn 18.
Yeah.
There's no stakes. I mean, don't murder anybody.
Yeah.
Don't rape anybody. Yeah. Don't hurt anybody, honestly. I didn't really hurt anybody. I just was like a vandal.
A little vandal.
I was a vandal and did things like that. And it was honestly like a great time. I'm so glad I got it out of my system.
Out of your system, exactly.
Before that age, because when you start doing shit like that over 18, you're just kind of a loser.
Like, I don't think I ever... I was a really angelic child.
Yeah.
If you can believe it. I think I'm much more likely... at this point to do something in the next 10 years that puts me in prison.
What is the thing that you would go to prison for?
I know that I would, you know, like we just make like a bad decision in the middle of like a movie or something.
Like of making a movie?
Yeah, like I would lie, cheat, and steal.
To get the movie made.
And during the making.
So you would, cheat.
Like everyone.
Like some sort of business. So you'd be like a white collar criminal.
No, more like cheat, like, probably like the government or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Some like the government can really put you in prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
They have maybe more rights than anybody.
They retain that right.
They're always involved in that, no matter what.
No. Yeah. The government is very insistent on being able to do that.
Yeah. Well, if you're listening in, government, like I'm clean now.
Like,
so no
let's
need,
rethink this whole no need you to can invest- put people in prison stuff.
Well, I think they are rethinking that, right?
What do you mean?
Everyone acknowledges right now that we are in the worst moment in the history of humankind for incarceration, or something that's called legal incarceration. Right? Yeah. Of course, there's been gulags and internment camps and all this shit throughout history that is explicitly illegal.
Yeah.
Right now, we have a incarceration system that is legal for all intents and purposes, but it clearly targets...
It's become an industry.
It's an industry. It's a for-profit industry. It targets marginalized groups.
Yep.
It's completely unfair.
Yep.
And I think everyone is acknowledging that and says, hey, it's not right when private industries are making money off of the government to imprison citizens.
Yeah.
So, I think people are looking at that and hopefully trying to do something about it.
Yeah, I hope so.
And you and me as just white guys, we're the luckiest of them all.
Yeah.
We, you know, like, we really have to do something fucked up to even get in prison.
Oh, man. I had a funny, the other night I was looking for parking around Echo Park, so I'm driving in fucking circles looking for parking.
Right, I've been there.
And at a certain point, I noticed there's a cop tailing me.
Right.
And I'm going in, like, just zigzag circles, just looking for the spot.
Gotta find a spot, yeah.
And he's following me.
And he's finding
turn after turn after turn, and they're following me, and then finally I lose him, and I'm like, what the fuck are they going to pull me over? I don't know what's happening. And finally I lose him. And I find a spot, and then I get out of my car, and they're coming down the street with their headlights off, like cruising up at me, trying to catch me doing something. And I like kind of freeze, and then they see them, they turn their lights on, zoom up next to me, and they're like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Like, you driving around in circles, huh? And I'm like, yeah. And I look at this guy who clearly lives in fucking Simi Valley with a garage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't understand. Like, you think I'm...
like
doing something.
You're casing a house.
You think I'm
to
casing,
burgle.
Like, yeah. You think I'm gonna burgle these cars, and you have no idea what my life is like. And you
did not say that to him.
No, I just said I'm looking for parking. I live there, and they said, And then they were like, yeah, well.
Did they ask you for your ID?
Safe. No, they were just like, yeah, well. They said something really fucking condescending.
God, these guys are so bored.
And it was totally sketchy because I was watching so many of these cop videos. You know?
That happened to me so many times when I first moved to LA. Like, cops pull me over. Cops trail me while I'm walking and try to undercover sting me to get me in prison or whatever.
You're too suspicious to actually be a criminal.
It hasn't happened to me in a long time. Exactly. I'm, like, from Central Casting. Like, you know, I'd be the worst criminal ever because I look so, like, an oddity.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but, like, can you imagine? That is, like, what happened to you?
Yeah.
Happens to an average black guy hundreds of times a year.
Yeah.
Potentially, every time they walk out of their house,
they
have the potential knowledge that if a police officer comes within a radius of them, he's going to go after them. Either ask them mad, annoying questions or things that are 10 million times worse.
It's alarming. I mean,
it's shocking and evil.
Yeah. I mean, I would totally, like, I mean, if they had kept going, if they had given me more time to, well, I don't know. Like, I think Yeah, I mean, if I was being questioned like that, I would definitely become, like, really aggro back.
Anxious?
I mean, aggro. I already felt, yeah, because you're just anxious. This is the and, power that they
But
have.
Imagine, like, as a white dude in Echo Park, you could get aggro back. If you're a black guy who had aggro back, you might get shot.
I mean, very, very
like,
possible.
I walk
very
down
possible.
The middle of the street all the time, a few blocks away from my house, and if I'm ever walking with anyone, I always say to them, this is what Michael Brown got killed for. Walking in the middle of like
you
a
just say that all
I
the
say
time.
That all the time because it's like I want to acknowledge the like insanity of it and also like the I'm not like doing a humble brag here or anything like that but I literally just wanted to share that I do just say that all the time.
Yeah,
I'm walking in the street talking to my friend, we talk about some bullshit, and I'll say, this is what Michael Brown got shot for, just walking in the middle of the street.
Yeah,
it's madness.
I'm gonna start saying that.
It's fuck. Well, when you walk, if you walk in the
to myself
street a lot,
as I walk around the street,
say it to a friend because you know it. Like I think about it all the time.
Yeah,
that plight and like the unfairness.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost at the end of the show. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Really fast, right? It always goes by so
10
fast.
10 o'clock.
Yeah. So towards the end, I like to ask, my guest.
Yes.
Pick a number. 1, 6, or 20.
Okay.
Pick one.
6.
6. Okay. In the perfect world of Morgan Krantz, 6 months from now, what is happening? 6 months from today.
What's the date? September?
Yes, that would be like March.
Well, 6 months from now.
Early March, late February.
6 months from now, my love life will be just really rocking.
Are you thinking about love a lot these days?
More than ever, really, because, you know, that's what you do when you break up.
Yeah, exactly.
Think about it more. I've spent the past, you know, many years, like, not wanting to think about it. You know, I'm just like, well, I got that taken care of.
Right.
So, anyway, yeah, that's happening. But most importantly, 6 months, well, I wrote a script recently.
Yeah.
That I hope to be shooting in about 6 months from now. And then Neurotica will be out. I'll be way too big for this show.
Yeah.
And and then also, like, I'll be doing some, you know, some cool acting stuff that I have in
mind. So basically, part of your life goals, not all of them,
is
but
to
one of them.
This.
Yeah, 6 months from now.
Yeah, yeah.
That occupies your
this
life goals.
This is a stepping stone.
Is that this show is so small.
No.
Which just goes to show how completely unfocused and pathetic your goals are.
Let me revise.
No, it's cool. I hear you.
Yeah.
What's the movie you've been writing?
Oh, I wrote it. And
do you want to just give us a one line?
I guess I could. Yeah. It's basically about this like unstable 28-year-old guy who kidnaps his two.
I'm looking at one.
Yeah, this is it, played by me.
Kidnaps.
Who kidnaps his two half brothers for a camping trip?
And how old are they?
Yosemite. They're 12.
How do you make this movie good, Morgan? I'm sure the script is good.
Yeah, yeah.
But how do you make a movie about a quote-unquote, I'm going to say this,
yeah,
and I mean it as an insult, but I want you to throw it back at me.
Yeah, yeah.
Man-child or something.
No, it's not that.
He's not a man-child.
Well,
he's a responsible guy.
Oh, no. I guess in that way, yeah. It's
okay,
like a,
how do you make this movie?
But he's like got mental illness.
Okay,
he's so more on like the crazy side.
He's on the crazy tip, not like the slacker tip.
No.
Okay,
so
but
it's not like a
but
Paul
still,
Rudd thing.
Still, there's like a thing, right? Where these movies, like about this older guy who's like a man child, and like he interacts with younger kids, and they're a reflection of like his behavior, and then they bond over some experience. How do you make your movie of that like distinct and like awesome and different from all the others?
Well, it just is. I mean, it's just specific. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you could say like every story, you know, has these like the universality of it. I like.
Yeah.
And I also like Babysitter sort of cracking open the
intergenerational
formula thing and telling this personal story that plays a little bit on what you're expecting. Although I don't know if I'm doing that this much in this movie. I mean, the like really ridiculous references for this film would be like Captain Ron, Bushwhacked, and things like that. But
Uncle Buck,
you know, but you could say the same, like those could be the bad versions of Daddy Longlegs or Old Joy or like all these other great films that happen to deal with the same similar shit. I mean, it's really easy, I think, to hear an idea and then you think about the bad version, but that's what stops you
for making it.
I don't think that your version is the bad version. I think there are a lot of bad versions out there.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like I think, like in 2004 to 2010, there were a lot of bands that used like an animal in its name combined with something else. And it's just like in the air, you know? And so if you're telling me an idea of something that I think has been in the air for like 10 years or something, and in this sort of Cassavetes lineage of American films, you know, like
Cassavetes?
No, I just mean like, you know, like Duplass Brothers and Old Joy and like, just like, you know, this sort of like, and then a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like older.
I don't really worry about that stuff.
You don't worry about that stuff.
I just, you know, for me, it's like, I know, like, I was, you know, it's funny, like when I was writing Babysitter, I was so worried that somebody else was gonna like, because I like told some producers about it, and I was like really sketched out, like, oh, they're gonna steal my idea. But the thing is, like, the Babysitter's like, it's such a deeply personal and so deeply personally constructed film. It would be impossible. It's like a fingerprint. There's just no way that it's. And so this movie, while being more commercial, definitely.
What does that mean?
It's more commercial.
What does that mean?
Well, I just think it kind of it knows more what fun. It is a little more. It's a little more fun. It's more genre. Fun. It's, I mean, honestly, it's a really feel good movie. Okay. I want it to feel good.
Okay.
Like, it's all about that. That's what the characters
are
going
through.
That's
important, right? Like, you like a movie, it makes you feel good, right?
I think I do. I like all kinds of movies, but but I wanted this movie because of what the people are dealing with. I just think that. That's what I was dealing with. And
right.
So it's this kind of like raucous celebratory thing almost by the end. Like, I mean, that's the ride, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that if you just write from the gut and then really kind of just be true to yourself, I mean, those things are so easily surpassed. I don't think you surpass those things because you're basically just talking about like what, marketing or?
I guess what I'm talking about is like,
the marketing of it, though.
Not marketing, but just like ideas that are in the air. But I think your answer is perfect, actually. I think you're I think that's sound advice and sound commentary from a filmmaker and artist when you say, hey, this has
just
every
go deeper.
Film
you
is
go
a
deeper.
Fingerprint. If you make it personal, every film is like its own fingerprint. And it's not going to be anything like these other things,
I mean,
even if on a surface level, they're also fingers. You know, everyone's got fingers.
But I mean, I thought like what you did with Wonderful Cloud too. It's like, you know, that's the
I'm sure if I describe that,
the
people
log
would be,
line of it is like, oh, okay, cool.
Nothing.
But
then
there's all this like specificity and color and personalness.
Yeah, I was just playing devil's advocate, Morgan.
I am
really excited. I'm excited by what you said because I find it inspiring. Because I think a big thing for me is I'm always like, like whatever I do,
a lot of people do that.
Like I want it to be the most unique idea or something like that, and then actually, like, that's not what makes something good. What makes something good is if it really is specific and comes from a unique place.
Yeah.
Not like if the situation or whatever is untrendy or unique.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for coming on the show, Morgan.
My pleasure.
It was really great having you, and it was really fun having you, man.
Yeah.
I think we ended on like such a deeper note than we usually do, but 6 months from now, it sounds like you got some good things going on. So watch out for Morgan Krantz's Neurotica and Babysitter and the new thing that he's going to be doing 6 months from now.
Yeah.
And thanks for tuning in to Open Up and Bleed. I am Eugene. And to stick around for Strip Mall with Eric Felix, and tune in next week for another cool guest on the show. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
That was fun, man.